Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. Boy, isn't this loaded? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Boy, now Peter's bold. Just a few days ago, he ran and hid. And tried to kill a man with a sword. I mean, he's something, isn't he? I mean, that guy ducked and cut his ear off. He intended to slice him wide open. And off went his ear. Malchus. Jesus said, oh, man. Give me that ear. Don't be doing that. don't be doing that. Let me put your ear back. I was wondering what old Malcolm thought. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus is, or Peter is preaching. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Why did he always say Jesus of Nazareth? His name wasn't Jesus. It was Joshua. Yeshua. There were other Yeshuas. There are men today that are named Jesus, particularly in the Latino community. Somebody said, oh, brother, I don't see anything wrong with that. Amen. But this was Joshua from Nazareth, only one of those. Thank you, Jesus. It's praising time. Only one of those. Only one of those. And he's your champion. He's your brother. Your older blood brother. I always wanted a blood brother when I was a little boy because of my Cherokee background. And there was a little red book called The Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon. Somebody gave me one of those. And I just put it in my pocket. And this was way back there, back in the day when there were shuttle airplanes that went between Dallas and Fort Worth and Fort Worth and Houston and so forth. You could just go out the, you just go out the airport and, catch a Braniff, and so our airplane was in the shop, and I had to go to Houston back, and somebody had given me that, and I just put it in my pocket. Well, I get up in the front of the airplane. I don't want to talk to anybody else anyway. And it had the bulkhead up there was carpeted, and I get right up in front. Don't you want a window seat? I don't care. What do I want a window seat? You have to look out sideways, man. I like to look out front ways. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't have any interest in that. And I sat up there and I thought, hey, that little red book's in my pocket. What? Jesus Christ is my blood brother.
Amen.
by covenant. Jesus. Oh, man. And I was just... And here came the lady with the booze cart. You know, Miss Smiley. And her little wagon. And she came up there and said, would you like... Oh, no, you've had enough already. I guess she saw my eyes were glazed over. I was drunk. But not on her spirit, on mine. Changed my entire existence. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Now then, I particularly want to read that 27th verse. Now, let's go to 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. The pains of death. The pain was not on that cross. The pains of death were in hell. Oh, yeah. That's where it hurts. Amen. And he went to the depth of the pit. And he was tortured more than any man before him or any man after him, because he took it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
And suffered there. And we'll see it in just a moment. Loosed from the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Oh, this just gets better and better. Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I want to go back over to the book of Hebrews here for a moment. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you, established you in an official sonship relation with kingly dignity. And again, I will be a father to again. Let him die. Again, I will be a father to him, and again, he will be my son. Moreover, when he brings the first begotten son again into the habitable world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Referring to the angels, he said, God who makes his angels wind and his ministering servants flames of fire. But to the Son, he says to him, and these are the words that raised him from the dead. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever to the ages of the ages. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness or justice and straightforwardness. You have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in purpose, thought, and action. You have hated lawlessness, injustice, and iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of excellent joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. Oh, glory to God. I don't know whether to laugh or moan. My. Glory to God. And now, let's go over I want to talk about step number four about the name. Where is it? Jesus doesn't need it in heaven. But we do. It is a weapon in the hands of the church. Against all wickedness, against the devil and everything he stands for. And I want you to know, when a born-again child of God who has faith in that name and knows it and begins to speak that name, all of hell trembles.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The devil will never forget it. In hell, Jesus stripped him of everything. He made him bow before him, and he took his keys away from him. In hell itself. Now you remember, at that time, heaven was in the bosom of Abraham. It was in the upper regions of hell, protected there. As far as they were concerned, they were in paradise. What did Jesus say to the thief? Today you will be in paradise with me. So the thief didn't go to hell. He just stopped off with Abraham and all the rest of the guys. All the people. There were portals there. Jesus proved that when the rich man died and went into hell. Lazarus sat at his gate begging. The angels took Lazarus into paradise, the bosom of Abraham. And this rich man lifted up his eyes, and he's still trying to order Lazarus around. Send Lazarus with water. Now, and you'll see this in just a moment. Well, let's go. I'm gonna do this. Well, I'll look it up first. In the 22nd Psalm, begins up, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the wounds of my roaring? And all, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? What did they hear Jesus say right before he gave up the ghost on that cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was on the 22nd Psalm. He locked onto that psalm and didn't let it go. This is what got him through hell. because he knew himself in the 22nd Psalm. He is the one that gave that psalm to David in the first place. Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you answer not. And by night, I'm not silent or find no rest. But you are holy. Oh, you now. This is, he's going through this. He went into hell with this on his lips. You are holy. Oh, you dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, leaned on, relied on you, and were confident, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted and leaned on and confidently relied on you and were not ashamed or confounded or disappointed. But I'm a worm and no man. I'm the scorn of men and despised by the people. All who see me laugh and mock me. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted and rolled himself on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me hope and trust when I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from my very birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there's none to help. Many foes like bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have hedged me in. Against me, they opened their mouth wide like ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's softened with anguish and melted down within me. My strength is dried up like a fragment of clay pottery with thirst. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me into the dust of death. For like a pack of dogs, they have encompassed me. A company of evildoers have encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. The evildoers gaze at me. They part my clothing among them and cast lots for my raiment, a long shirt-like garment, a seamless undertunic. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my help. Hasten to aid me. Deliver my life from the sword, my dear life, my only one, from the power of the dog, the agent of execution. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you've answered me kindly from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
He was praising God in hell.
Yes. Yes.
That's good.
In the midst of the congregation. Now, David, especially David, and all the rest, all of them you see in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they were all there. And they're watching this battle. It's right down there. Abraham told the rich man, he said, there is a great gulf fixed between us. You can't come here and we can't go there. They were protected in the upper regions. You who fear, revere, and worship the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all you offspring of Israel. He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, my praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay to him my vows made in the time of trouble before them who fear, revere, and worship him. And then you come, the 29th verse, all the mighty ones upon the earth shall eat in thanksgiving and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him, and they shall tell the Lord next generation. They will come and shall declare his righteousness to a people yet born, that he has done it. It is finished.
Hallelujah.
That's what he was saying on the cross. And he was saying that when his spirit descended into the deep. That psalm. And then David said, the Lord is my shepherd. In the 23rd Psalm, I shall not want. We're living in the 23rd Psalm right now. It is finished. Was redemption finished? No. No, it still had 3 days and nights to go. What was finished? The Abrahamic covenant. Because a new one was happening right then. The second covenant.
Amen.
The power covenant. Where all the rest of us could come in.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Given to men. Acts 4:12. Let's look at that. And I'm beginning to fix it to close. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand before you made whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Given among men, women, the power weapon. Glory to God. Prayer is a mighty weapon. You remember what General Flynn said Sunday night? Oh, I like that man. Amen. Prayer is the greatest weapon of all, but not without the name. Prayer has no authority without the name. Well, I believe in prayer. Absolutely, I do. But I believe in the name. I believe on the name. In the name. And as we talked about earlier, he has kept us in that high tower, which the name of the Lord is a high tower, and the righteous run into it. My cross reference says, afar, aloft, and above. That name puts you in a place where you look down on the devil and you get under my feet. And I know I don't have any quitting sense. The power of attorney. To use the name. The name can do anything that he could do.
Join Kenneth Copeland at these upcoming KCM events. May 12 through 14 for the Sacramento Victory Campaign in California. May 26th through 28th, join us for the first ever Knoxville Victory Campaign in Tennessee. June 9th through 11th, don't miss the Fargo Victory Campaign in North Dakota. KCM events are free to attend. Go to kcm.org/events for more information, and we'll see you there. God only says good things over your life. When you think, act, and speak the word for your health, family, and finances, that's what you'll have. But compromising the word of God will inevitably lead to failure. God's Word, Final Authority is a CD teaching by Kenneth Copeland that will help you make the decision to never compromise the Word again. Jesus, the Word in flesh, is your covenant partner. When you understand the covenant rights He bought and paid for you to have, you can take hold of them. He has a good future for you, one of health, mental and emotional wholeness, and financial freedom. Don't compromise and don't quit. Release the power of God's Word as your first and last word in every situation and watch the Word go to work for you. The Word is where your victory starts. Align your heart and words with God's Word to live in His victory and overcoming faith. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's CD series, God's Word, Final Authority. Learn to make God's Word final authority in your life and how everything you think, say, or do can agree with God's Word to bring about His promises for you. Go to kcm.org/TV special. Or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you entered into a covenant with God, and Jesus Christ became your blood brother. That means everything God the Father gave to Jesus rightfully belongs to you too. His covenant includes health, peace, wisdom, prosperity. All you have to do is believe that God will do what He has promised you in His covenant. Today is offering day, and we'd like to present you with an opportunity to take part in the benefits of preaching the good news. Galatians 6, verse 6 to 7 says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." God promised that when you respond to that word that was preached by sowing a financial seed, He will make sure that you reap a financial harvest. It's impossible for God to lie. What He has promised, He will perform for you. All you have to do is believe His word, follow His instructions, and then watch as His promise comes to pass in your life. Partners and friends, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland thank you for your faithfulness in sowing and praying for this ministry. For over 55 years, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has been preaching the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. And your partnership with us is helping to send this message further and faster than ever. Let me pray over your offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, every seed that is sown, we pray and say to the seed, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the gospel. Thank you for watching. We'll see you again next time. And remember this, God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.